Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, everyone. Audio check. Can you hear me okay without my headphones on? No?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Have real weird intermittent audio issues since we upgraded to Windows 11. I want to thank all of the note takers for signing up so quickly to take notes. Really appreciate it. See, checking our attendees. 12. Should we go ahead and get going? Got a full agenda today. So let's see. Charlotte's on, you're taking notes. Great. Start out with some announcements. I don't think anyone shared announcements in the chat. Does anyone have anything to share before we start up? Low announcement kind of a day. Cool. I know we're all busy getting prepped for next week. We have a couple of updates from the SIG planning meeting this week. We talked about transitioning our kind of cadence for SIG updates, jumping off from Jeremy's proposal last week. We're going to have SIGs sign up, self sign up on the Product Council topic calendar page, this one right here. I'll pop that in the chat in a second. I'll make sure it's in the notes. So I'm using that for a lot of organization for the meetings. That's also where we're signing up for note takers, and I note when people are going to be out, stuff like that. So that's kind of an important page to watch. I also try to post recordings and topics there so that I can quickly understand like what we did on what day and pull stuff up. SIG reports are so SIGs are going to self sign up. They're self selecting with a max of two SIGs per meeting to come to continue like they've been doing to do updates for us on focusing on priorities and anything else that they need to share. I think it was Martin had a good point in the chat that like some that might not always work with our schedule. I think that if SIGs self-select, we're going to end up with some days with two SIGs, some days with one, and some days with no SIGs. In the event that we really need the extra time and it's a two SIG meeting, we might have to reschedule them. We are going to hang on to the SIG reports, but make them quarterly. And kind of focus more on housekeeping and what they need from the PC. So less of them reporting to us, because they already do that now on a rolling basis. We also talked about having an annual SIG meeting, which would be an opportunity for us to report out. And we talked a little bit about timing, whether it would make sense to maybe sync that with when WolfCon re registration opens up, kind of like a kickoff to WolfCon prep season. We also talked a little bit about the priorities dashboard and what the update cadence should be. Looks like I made a typo in my notes here, but oh no, tar we're targeting two releases out for anything that we're putting on the dashboard. Just want to set expectations there. Like there, we the dashboard does not dictate when development happens, but we need to kind of set expectations that surfacing it means that maybe two releases out, someone might actually see some action there. Should someone pick up the work? I think someone has some background noise. So call for updates. We're talking about penciling in for May and November. I'd like to talk to the release management stakeholders to try to learn a little bit more about how we might tie that to the feature freeze to get these the dashboard published at the right time to kind of draw attention to when features might need to be picked up. And then publish to the community around July and January. So there's still some work to be done there, but a little update. We'll also be talking about the community priorities dashboard during the road mapping session at WolfCon. Any questions about those before we move on to standing updates?
Jennifer has a question.
Thank you.
I was just going back to the next seven steps for SIG engagement. So, obviously I can clean up the SIG reports, which are now monthly, and should I just, I guess those that have already been filled out, I'll leave. But I guess we would have one in December now would be the next one, I guess. So how do we want to handle the announcements and getting this to the SIGs? I mean, should, because I can post on the SIG convener group, but I think really liaisons need to really make sure the SIGs understand this, because it's a it is a big change.
It is, and one that I hope will take I hope it'll be useful for SIGs. What do you think is the best way for us to distribute this information?
Well, I think the liaisons need to talk to their SIGs, especially in terms of signing up for the 10-minute updates. Like, I'm still unsure, like, if you've already signed up, do you wait for next year, or do you, like, what's the cadence on that actually as well? Or do you just, so the minimum maybe is once a year, but if you want a lot of PC time, you sign up every week. I don't know. I mean, you never know what SIGs. I mean, you could have some SIGs that are fans of PC and they're going to come every week, right?
How about this as a proposal? If we're targeting about twice a year, how about every time we publish the priorities dashboard, we do a call to get the SIGs to sign up? Does that sound about right? For like the next 6 month period.
Yeah, and it might be helpful to, add that to the when we need to clean up the calendar as well and maybe decide on once we have those dates, add that to the calendar just so we remember or somewhere. I mean,
Autumn has her hand up.
Thank you.
Sorry, can you not see that?
Right now, I just have
The juggling screens.
I need to pay attention to the box. Jeremy's really helping me out.
I don't mind
Good
keeping my
co-chair.
eye on it.
I can just holler too if that's easier. But two suggestions. Maybe could we do sort of a general announcement from Product Council on maybe the Folio general channel or something like
Sure.
that, and then also the liaisons can follow up, and that way there's two different ways the information is getting out there. And then also, I might suggest that liaisons do the actual entering of that info into the calendar, like check with your SIG, see what time that they would prefer, and then make that entry themselves just to make sure it happens.
Excellent. Okay. So like I think the one kind of remaining thing is because we started with a pilot, we were feeling this out, we're not quite perfectly on this schedule. So we might have to start with we'll have to do that announcement soon. Do you think it's we'll get lost if we do it before WolfCon? Maybe send it out after WolfCon and ask SIGs to sign up. Great. We'll do our best with this first one. It'll just be a little off, and that's okay. All right. Let's move on to our standing updates. Thank you for adding the info from release management.
Sure thing. So there was no meeting this week, and I didn't put it on here because I think it was being discussed yesterday. Just the draft memo for the delay in Trillium. You can always go to Folio Release Bug Management, and Charlotte put out a note on that as well. So when there's no meeting, I'll just try and put down kind of the issue, you know, not issues, but I guess features, bugs, etc., that are up for CSP review. This doesn't mean they've been accepted to the acceptance. I don't know who makes the final decision, honestly. So I guess it's, is it a majority of the group? So, oh, Charlotte, maybe, yeah, you've been on it longer than I have.
Can I maybe suggest instead of adding, each of the different tickets, we simply just do a link to the current Jira dashboard, because in that way you will always have an updated list, because it is moving quite a lot. And new tickets are being added. So, and on the Jira dashboard, you can also see when the GA date, so the release date, when that is planned for. All right, let's see,
Charlotte,
Perry. Oh, sorry.
oh wait, sorry. Do you have a link to that dashboard?
I can find it.
Okay,
You
thank you.
mean the Sunflower CSP number one?
Or is it one or two? Yeah.
Yeah, it's one. Yeah.
Jennifer, just to your question, it's just a simple majority. That's it in terms of, you know, is it a go or no go for the issue?
Oh, that's great to know, Harry. Do you know if there's any guidance on, like, has anything been like a no-go?
There has in the past, although overall, I think the restrictions have been getting looser over time, mainly because really since the start of this, the concept of a service patch has, in a sense, started to evolve. But traditionally, there's some fairly strict restrictions relating to which type of P1s and which type of P2s are approved. But also, we're in a unique, well, not really a unique, it's happened multiple times before, where if a release is delayed, it ends up features and functionality, if they are really kind of critical for libraries that are either going live or are live, they end up being included in a service patch as well, which traditionally is not what these are for, and it kind of breaks the rules. But, you know, do you follow the rule or, you know, are we trying to make sure libraries are happy with software? And so the latter really overrules that decision overall. And so, you know, you'll start to see some of that for the next service patch due to Trillium being late. And again, it's happened before. Even in Ramsons, we were releasing features through service patches as well because, frankly, we just had to. But historically, it's typically only P1 defects and P1, and if I remember correctly, P2 security issues that get released.
Yeah, thanks. That's great information. And thanks, Tom, for posting the in the CSP process or link to that documentation. It's really helpful.
Great. This is great. Thank you for that update. How about updates from CC or TC? Let's do TC first.
I think I'm filling that role today.
Thank you.
Hello. I asked because I had a question that I wanted to ask PC, and then it turned out the person who was supposed to be here wasn't going to be here for updates. So I think the things I would mention that we've been working on the TC side is most prominently discussing a proposal to adjust the support period timeline for flower releases, right? So we actually had a dedicated discussion of that yesterday that was announced to the community, and several, you know, lots of folks beyond the technical council were there. It was a good discussion. It seems like we don't have an exact resolution there yet, but at least some next steps to try to wrestle with the joint challenges of, you know, the benefits of the community supporting releases versus how do we practically do that when our dependencies are no longer in support and we might not know about critical security things going on. So that's certainly been a lot of the activity recently. We also did a recent new module evaluation, which I led for UI Mosaic settings, which we approved, which leads me to the question that I wanted to ask PC. Going back about, I'm trying to see when we did this, but it was about a year ago when we worked with Product Council to make sure that we were not approving things on our side until Product Council had approved things on your side. And we added a criteria to make sure that this was in the fall of 2023, early 2024. We made it to make sure that you had approved it. And at the time, PC said to look to a wiki page to verify if the Product Council had actually approved the functionality or not. So that's in our criteria explicitly. In order for it to pass the TC review, it has to be listed on that particular wiki page. But then we've noticed that since then, there's a Jira project that's now being used potentially to manage some of the approvals. But it's not clear exactly what the state of things are for UI Mosaic settings. It seems like the wiki page is recording the approval, but not the Jira project. So basically, the question is, we would like to adjust our process criteria to point either to the wiki page as it does now, which is fine, I believe it is, or to the Jira project. And we just want to know which is the authoritative thing. And what is the process?
So I missed a major step when we did the Mosaic endorsement and forgot to publish the endorsement page, which I believe Todd Olson took care of for us last week while I was out. Maybe Jennifer, since you've done the work on the Jira, where do you think they should be looking for the authoritative document? I think the intention was to keep it the wiki, and that the Jira was for our internal tracking purposes, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
But we do also need to, so putting the, so when I updated the page, and I think I put the link to the Jira ticket in the decision. But then I don't think anybody actually closed the Jira ticket. So we need to make sure we follow up on that too, because that is new.
I believed I moved it to done.
Okay, great.
Let me check. But I don't think we really have like a seamless, like who's doing what or what, you know, what should happen next kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that there's actually some implications for potential changes to how we're thinking about this in Jira in Jeremy's proposal that he's going to talk about next. So if for today we could just say we're continue looking at the wiki, we will tighten up our process around making sure everything gets done, which again I think was just me personally did not follow through on that. Then let's listen to some of the things that Jeremy's introducing and think about if that might potentially change things in the future.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much. And just as context, the reason I'm asking the question is sometimes we get to the point, and we didn't, this wasn't the case for this TCR, but sometimes we get to the point where that's the only checkbox that we haven't checked, you know, and we're trying to hit a 3-week time frame on our side. So if PC needs more time to actually decide it, of course, that's totally legit. But if it's a question where in the meeting, PC has agreed to support the functionality, but it just hasn't made its way to the Confluence page, that's where there's tension that we're just looking to avoid.
Yeah, I would say we do not need 3 weeks to discuss anything. We don't typically do the vote in the meeting, but try to do it like promptly within the week via Slack. Okay. Jeremy, can I hand it to you? Oh, I missed CC. Sorry, wait, I missed CC.
There was no CC meeting this week, and there hasn't been anything that's come up. So, nope, nothing
All right.
from CC.
All right, let's give Jeremy lots of time.
Okay, I'm gonna dive right into this monster document, and I think probably the best way to proceed is just to share my screen and go through the document. I'm gonna do it at kind of a breakneck speed, just because there's a lot to go over, and I want to leave time for discussion. And then I also shared earlier, just right before the meeting, a document in Slack that I will confess is AI generated, that outlines some specific scenarios, just kind of illustrating this proposal in action. So we might have a time some time to look at that. So I'm going to share my screen and try to find. So many things competing for real estate here. All right, 1 second. Okay. All right. So what I'm going to be going over today is this document called the Folio Community Directed Development Framework, which is just to kind of provide some context for what this is an attempt to synthesize and kind of introduce a comprehensive take on several proposals that have been put forward in the last few months concerning the idea, the general concept of community directed or community driven development. So these three documents are one by Tom Kramer, the Program Plan for Developing a Blueprint for Folio Community and Software Ecosystem, one from Mike Gorrell, Folio Contribution Network, and then one from the CDD Working Group Development Initiative Proposals. What we realized in the CDD Working Group was that there was some overlap, and certainly in like kind of spirit and intent behind these three documents, but the specific elements that they seem to zero in on were actually not overlapping a whole lot and potentially really complementary. So we decided it might be a good idea to take a stab at bringing them all together into one document. So that is what this is. So just to get some general ideas out there, the major premise that this whole idea is based on is this idea that when the Folio community commits to an application within Folio or even just a feature in Folio, that is implicitly a commitment of resources. And because resources are a financial thing, that commitment in a sense is really the purview of the CC to decide what it is that we can spend on Folio. We kind of assume that maybe one of the reasons why community directed development has been so hard to get off the ground is because we maybe had not been acknowledging over the last few years exactly the nature of these fiscal commitments that we're making when we approve a module or approve a set of functionality. And that perhaps in order to be able to commit resources towards development and maintenance of the thing that we build, of Folio, we need to actually be accountable for what it costs to support Folio and to do that development. So if you want to spend money, you have to know what money you have to spend and where it's coming from. So this document really kind of begins after the historical context with identifying some potential funding sources for community-driven development. So it identifies this idea of pooled funding, which would be money that is set aside from membership fees in order to kind of create a pool of funding. This would be the percentage of membership fees, and all that would be designated by the CC. And even though it's not addressed in this document, I suppose it's implicitly true that the more the overhead for running Folio goes down, the more ambitious the CC could be in how much money they set aside in this pool of funding. Another area for funding that is recommended by this document is funding that's set aside specifically to maintain a community development team. These would be FTEs that are paid for directly by the Folio organization, and they would report to the councils. Similarly to how the developer advocate was funded. And there's more details about the structure of this team further on in the document. Directed funding is this idea that outside of the context of this pooled funding or money that's been set aside through through the money that's going into the Folio organization, that if specific development efforts draw the attention of members of the community that want to back those efforts, that there should be a mechanism for them to be able to, on an ad hoc basis, give money towards that development. So that's this idea of MOUs kind of indicating a commitment of specific resources for a specific development initiative. In-kind contributions, this is something that's been a part of our project for a long time. And it's just the commitment of resources, either developer time or you know, just staff time, donate towards the project, or it could be compute resources like infrastructure, things of that nature. And then this last one is here just to acknowledge the fact that this whole proposal is not intended to get rid of actually the core mechanism that has been driving Folio up into this point, which is we're calling independent funding. And that is funding just directly between stakeholders in the community and contractors. So we're, you know, we're considering that funding both something that will in all likelihood continue even if we embrace this CDD framework, and also is kind of outside of the purview of the framework. I don't want to derail the whole thing, but I do want to just kind of stop section by section and ask if there's any clarifying questions that anybody has. Okay. All right. Next set of concepts. All right. So we have all these disparate funding sources. And because they're different, it would be helpful to be able to quantify these using some kind of common metric in order to be able to talk about these things without the confusion of constantly having to, and you know, think about the nature of the resource. So, you know, specifically in regards to in-kind contributions, you know, versus the monetary contributions, it would be good to normalize those. So we felt that it would be a good idea to kind of embrace one of the concepts that Mike put forward in his document of applying kind of a score for maintenance of a specific module and really expound on that. So we're wanting to introduce three main abstractions to kind of structure our conversation about resources. And those are support scores, development scores, and community resource points. These CRPs feature heavily in this proposal. The support score is something that would be assessed by the TC. They will need to come up with a methodology for evaluating the components of Folio in order to give each component a support score. And what a support score is it basically just represents the cost in CRPs, community resource points, to maintain that module. It's just kind of the baseline maintenance cost for support of that module, and really represents an order for us to consider that module as part of Folio, our obligation to that module without any additional feature development on it, just to kind of keep it around. The development score is similar. It's the cost in CRPs to do a specific development effort. So this would be something like feature development, or you know, the creation of a new application would, you know, certainly have a development score attached to it. And this also would be something that would be maybe not assessed by the TC. We envision in this document that development initiatives would do an estimation of a development score, but it's going, that estimation is going to be affirmed or confirmed by the TC in later processes. And then finally, we have this concept of the community resource point. And this is going to be a point value that's assigned to the disparate community resources that we have available from those various funding sources. And it represents, this is just an example. The specifics of how we do the math on this remain to be discovered, but it's going to represent a specific development effort, and it will be the CC's job to determine how many CRPs, basically how many resources that we have available to do development in a given time period. We're proposing annually. So those are some general ideas. Any clarifying questions about those? Okay. Governance. So we are recommending that the councils engage in processes to divide up all of the components of Folio. I'm using the word components because I feel like it's neutral and it avoids some of the ambiguity between things like module and application. I don't think the word component is featured heavily in this draft of the document, but it might be one of the suggestions for the document so far is to really nail down our terminology in regards to modules and applications. But we're recommending that the components of Folio be divided into three major buckets: core components, community, and participating. So what are these? A core component is something upon which all other components are dependent. So think things like, you know, in Eureka, it would be like the management modules or Okapi itself, Stripes. These are the things that build the platform that all other parts of Folio participate with. These will be defined based on technical specifications, and it will be the job of the TC to look at all of the components of Folio and designate which ones are core components. The implications of being a core component is that your support score must be paid off the top of any available CRP. So all of the resources that are available in the community need to be put first towards covering the support score of all core components of the system, just to make sure that we are paying for the platform that we're using in order to build Folio. The second bucket is community modules. These are more subjective, and they have to do with identifying those modules that we feel like are essential to the operation and identity of Folio. And it falls to the PC to take the remaining CRP points and use those to cover the support score of designated modules that they feel like are community modules. Now, these community modules are... they will have their support score covered, but they are also the modules that are eligible for continued development within the framework of the CDD framework. So it's not to say that all the other modules are not part of Folio or not things that can be used in Folio, but it's a way for the community to kind of designate some modules as the ones that we are attending to, actively engaging with, and ultimately have the resources for sustaining and improving. All other modules by default go into this bucket of participating modules, and they are not eligible to receive community resource points. There's some other ideas surrounding that, but that's the main points here when it comes to the classification of components. Any questions about that? Okay, so council role. So, oh, Charlotte.
So one thing we talked about when we in this in the little small working group was that ideally, if we can have these three components aligned with how we also have this three in Eureka model, it was also defined as what is core, what is community, and what is participating. If we somehow can have it aligned and not being, as more as we can have things aligned, the better.
That certainly seems, yeah, like it would have natural benefits when it comes to think, thinking and identify what you're dealing with any particular component. That's for sure. All right. So this next section talks about how the different governance councils of Folio interface with these concepts. Essentially, I'm actually going to pop up here now to this diagram. Sorry for scrolling. And I'm sure that probably is not super okay. Essentially, what you have going on here is the community council is responsible for budgeting and determining what the available resources are and communicating that out to the community. So they kind of mint community resource points by doing an analysis of the disparate funding sources. The product council is responsible for deciding how those community resources are spent, and the technical council is responsible for analyzing the components that are in Folio and determining how much it costs to both support or do additional development on those components. So technical council does pricing, community council does budgeting, and product council does spending. That's kind of the short, punchy version of this. I don't know if I need to expound on the governance model more than that at this time. I'm gonna skip down to the process. All right. The process that we're recommending for kind of interfacing with this is what we're calling the DIP process, the Development Initiative Proposal, which I believe has been talked about previously, but it's been adapted a little bit to integrate with the CDD framework. So the idea would be that when there is a specific development initiative that wants to be done, that in and I want to point out that one that wants to participate with the CDD framework. So we're not saying that this is the only way that development can happen in Folio, but just that if you want to get some development done and you want to get at some of those community resources to assist with seeing that development done, then this would be the process that you engage with to see that happen. So a draft of a DIP will be submitted to a dashboard. It's got to include a title, high-level description of what is going to be done. There needs to be a coordinator designated to act as like a point of contact for that DIP. List of stakeholders and early notes. After it's created, it's going to enter into a refinement stage where the council, specifically the TC and PC, engage with that DIP in order to see it increase in specification. Its scope needs to be iterated on, the technical feasibility. It's important that any estimated development scores or increase in support impact on support score for the components that are implicated in the DIP are validated, and that it has a firm commitment from a coordinator to shepherd this DIP through the remainder of the process. Third step is council approval. Once once it moves out of draft stage and it is determined to have been sufficiently fleshed out, it will be submitted for council approval. In order to be eligible for approval, it has to have its development score covered by CRPs. That can either be CRPs that come from the pool of CRPs that is left over after support scores are covered, or it can be CRPs that are purchased through directed funding for the purpose of this development initiative. So some kind of combination of these things needs to be in place to ensure that the resources needed to complete the effort are accounted for prior to beginning that effort. Approval is needed from both the TC and PC, though the CC is not involved in the approval process. The CC's role in this whole thing is to decide what the resources are, and the PC and TC are going to be the ones to kind of give the official thumbs up on these things. At that point, it's going to move into a phase where actual contracts are established with developers in order to get this work done. It is possible that the community development team might be assigned the DIP. That would, in a sense, return some of the CRPs to the pool. Also, it's possible that one of the participating community contractors would be selected to do the work. We will be selecting developers from a developer marketplace. We can have more details on that further down the document, but this is an idea that is virtually lifted directly from Mike Gorrell's proposal. It will then enter an implementation phase. One of the suggestions here, that needs to be addressed is what happens if the development exceeds the resources allocated for this, and there does need to be processes in place to reassess and kind of handle those kind of eventualities, because we all know that in reality that is going to happen. This is kind of the golden path illustrated here. Then we move into a delivery and integration phase in which the work is put into the pipeline that is currently established for releases. There's going to be a closing phase where we sunset the DIP. Full disclosure here, I added this just to make sure that we had seven layers to the DIP because I thought that was funny. I can get into this stuff. This is a recommended makeup for a community development team to be funded through funds. Their efforts are also interpreted as CRPs. But just some notes about this. We are focusing primarily on managerial and coordinating roles for these. The idea being that if we have a strong core, kind of more strategic team, that development resources like developers can be contributed as in-kind contributions kind of coordinated on designated periods of time. Caitlin?
Sorry. I wanted to suggest, just based on where we are here, we've covered a lot here, and this document has a lot. I think it's more than like most human beings can absorb in one sitting. So I wondered if we could take a break to talk about, like, now that I think some people have read this, some people have not. Some people have read the preceding documents and not this one. But we have a pretty good idea of what this is and what we're working with here. And I mean, I don't mean to cut you off, but I do think we could take this, like, we could possibly stop here and talk about what needs to happen with this document next, given how much detail. There's a lot here. And so I'm wondering what needs to happen with us as PC, what we need to think about going into WolfCon. What like initial reactions people are having right now. And I do think if we can, I want to have a little time at the end of the meeting to talk about our shoulder meeting, but I think it would be helpful for me to think through an example of like what this would look like. Because the process, it does actually simplify a lot, but it's also really hard to understand in one go.
Do you want me to talk through this development scenario using the CDDF or?
Well, can we stop and see, is there anyone any questions or thoughts about what needs to happen with this document? Charlotte points out that we've got sessions at WolfCon.
So I think Jeremy, maybe we can talk a little about how you have planned these two sessions, because that would actually be that chance to deep dive into this document and really understand The proposal is about, Caitlin. And it's planned as a both presentation and a work session.
So at WolfCon, we have two sessions butting up against each other. One is 80 minutes and the other one is 50 minutes. And for the 80 minute session, we are going to do a presentation on this information pretty comprehensively. And then we're going to end it with some fairly interactive opportunities for people to kind of get some responses out. And then we're going to encourage people to take those responses to another session where there could be breakout group discussions on some targeted questions, and then some feedback from each of the groups. So, if there, you are absolutely right, Caitlin. There is a lot here. There's a lot here, and I think it would be awesome. It would be great if we could get people to engage with this content. Certainly, it is not current. If this is something that's in the future for Folio, it in its current state, it is not there yet. You know, it needs development and iteration.
Great. I'm ha really happy to know that you've got dedicated time for that at WolfCon. Thomas is raising some great questions here, specific to development. Thomas, I don't know if you want to say any of that out loud or just leave it for chat.
Sure. I mean, I can. I was just saying that one of my worries is that I know from refining tickets with dev teams is that on their face, they look very, very simple and their initial estimates can actually be very low. But then once it hits a system architect and the backend developers are actually able to investigate it, they can explode. I've seen tickets that have like one or two story points blow up to 15 story points just because of the complexity of the backend system and how it works. So I'm a little bit, I guess what I think might have to be taken in consideration is the initial part where you're looking at features and new functionality that is being taken care of by the community development group, is that you might want to pull in a system architect in those initial conversations to review it and then have them assess how much they think it will take. The other one was is I kind of had a side question is if we designate things as core and that are going to be managed by this community development team, does that also mean then that they become the owners of those modules?
I don't, I that was not intended to be an implication of what we laid out here, that the community development team would be like specifically responsible for the core modules or core components. Only that the cost of maintaining those core components would be paid for by the community. So I mean, I could see, you know, that maybe certain components we could enter into a contract with, with a development contractor to, to handle that support for one of the core components or something like that. It wouldn't necessarily have to be the community development team that does that, though it could be.
Right. But I'm saying if that development team that you subcontract with, or even the core of or the community development team, if they become the owners of that module, it now brings on a whole bunch of other implications where that any other group working on features for that module, that team is also responsible for reviewing and approving all pull requests because they are the owner of that module. They have to make sure that it won't break any functionality.
This has come up in our discussions. And there is some documentation floating around our community about this, but I think it's something that we need to acknowledge and address really head on. And that is that under this paradigm, there will be necessarily a lot of people touching the same components, a lot of different teams touching the same components. So I do think we need to analyze our concept of like code ownership and make some decisions about how we want to do that, whether it's having some really defined roles as like a host team and a guest team. Oh, apparently I'm raising my hand. That might be what we want to explore, but I do think we need to have some well-documented kind of policies and kind of a culture around what it looks like for, for multiple teams to be interacting in the same space. And I see Maccabee and then Caitlin.
I was just going to go back to Caitlin's sort of question about next steps on this, just in the context of WolfCon. I know that CC at their last meeting discussed that the Tri-Council shoulder meeting would include next step discussions on the conversations that CC has been leading about how to reconcile these various proposals and the work that CC did sort of trying to come up with a common definition of problems and solutions and all that. And this work is in some ways parallel to that. So I guess my question is just, is it the intention that this document also inform that Tri-Council shoulder meeting? And if not, either way, is there communication, Jeremy, between what you've done here and whoever's planning the Tri-Council shoulder meeting?
Not yet, though I would very much like for this document to be part of the conversation.
That's really helpful. And I guess I'm suggesting a next step as I read this document. Something that I'm really kind of hungry for. I love how you broke it out into pilot phase one, phase two. When you do the breakout sessions, I think it would be really helpful to break out the component, like even though on the one hand, it's so helpful for me to have this synthesized into a single document so that some of those ideas that had some kind of overlap are pulled together and I can see how they would work together or could work together. It would be helpful to break it down into component parts and identify some of the dependencies. Because I think that there are ways, there are parts of this that could provide value in the near term with pretty low, you know, comparative to some of the other parts overhead. I'm really interested in the dips. I think that the dips, just like having a bucket to capture plans, like intentions for future development and a process by which we could maybe, for instance, at the point of ideation, at the point of even for like direct funding when an institution, like my institution is has a desire to see something happen in Folio. Having a vehicle to identify existing tickets in UX prod and deduplicate to identify dependencies and downstream impacts of doing that development and kind of let that be a way, like kind of the locus of SIG input, and also a way just to create some transparency and insight into what's coming down the road. I'm very pro dip. I'm very interested in the dips. So I think if you had groups break out and focus on the different parts, some people are going to gravitate towards different parts. It might be helpful for them to elaborate some of those dependencies for implementation.
It's a great point. Yeah, the plan currently for the breakout groups is to take the major sections of this document, process being one, which is the section that can, is basically the dip section, and essentially letting people, they're going to be asked in the main session to individually respond to all sections, but that's going to give each individual a feel for like what they have juice for. What they connect to. So then when we get into the workshop se session, we're going to let people just kind of volunteer to be part of a group discussion on, raise your hand if you want to talk about funding, raise your hand if you want to talk about the governance piece, if you want to talk about the process piece. And we are totally okay if everybody just wants to talk about process. We'll just have five groups talking about process. We're gonna kind of let the people at the workshop lean into the thing that they have the most passion for.
Excellent. Given where we are in the meeting, I'm going to suggest that we don't go into the example that you prepared. Thank you for doing that. I'm the one who requested that. So that'll maybe be something we can look at after WolfCon, or maybe could be a tool at WolfCon. Instead, I'd like to talk about our shoulder meeting in context of everything that's floating around right now. At the beginning of the summer, we had talked about doing a product vision workshop to talk about, you know, what our vision is of Folio as a product and how it would evolve. Kristen Martin put together this document, which I think captures a lot of what, you know, we kind of assume about Folio. It's a good document. I wanted to ask the group what we should be using the shoulder meeting for, whether we want to reserve it to talk through some of like the impacts to the PC and how it might impact our goals for the year, kind of like we did last year, where Alexis put together an open board where we all in brainstormed some goals, and then we went through and kind of grouped those into categories and put some specific goals, like having a community priorities dashboard on our agenda, or whether it would be useful to spend some time talking about product vision. Folks, what do you think? Jennifer and then Alexis.
Yeah, I think it would be really good to, to prioritize what we want to do. I mean, we always have so much that we want to work on, and unfortunately, we can't work on everything. You know, we have the, you know, CDC, gosh, I can't even do the acronym now. The community stuff, you know, development, you know, that's going strong. We also talked about maybe what's the role of the stakeholders management group and PC. And we also have this vision document, which I think could probably be breaking up into a number of smaller chunks. So I think it is really worth kind of discussing where we want to focus and what our priorities are for this year. So I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should do the priority. I think we should, you know, brainstorm goals, and the vision could be one of those goals, right? What I found to be the most useful part of that, in addition to just getting everything written down and synthesizing it, is we were then able to create those small groups that actually then got the work done. Because I think having it all be Jeremy and Caitlin's responsibility, having it be on the chairs, like that's not gonna, it's too much. So like if we can figure out what those things are, and again, the vision can be one of those things, and we could have a small group that then does a presentation and does the visioning kind of workshop maybe or something, or they just do it. I don't know. Like you said, Kristen's document is already pretty darn good. So there may not be all that much to do with that, but I think we do need to improve the vision. We've talked about updating the charter. There's a lot of stuff that we've talked about, and to get it all written down and figure out who's going to do it, you know, what are our top five things, and then who's going to do it, I think would be a really good thing to spend that time on.
Thanks, Alexis. Charlotte?
So I think also we have started up some, you know, some heavy lifting and some good initiatives. The top five priorities we have received from each of the six. Now we have the total list. That kind of feed into also the new thinking and the new ideas, which has been around for several years about the community-driven development. And now we kind of have gotten a really solid thinking and solid description about how this can be established. And I think the PC with its weight probably should, you know, focus on, okay, how can we weigh in and support the continued development of Folio and make sure that all the good work happening in all the six discussions happening year after year, but not so much output happened in the development side. So I think, to be honest, I think the PC has for a couple of years looked very much on internal processes. Now it is time to very much focus on Folio as product.
It's a great point. So I think what I'd like to do is send out a collaborative document for folks to start parking some of those ideas, whether now or during WolfCon. And so that way we can start to group it into some categories to structure our conversation next Friday. So that will either be probably a Miro board or Easy Retro, like Alexis did last year. And I will try to get that set up today. All right, and that puts us right at time. Thanks, everyone. We covered a lot today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
Safe travels to everyone who's traveling.
Yay!